Good morning. Got it out there. Hey, I'm excited to be here. I'm excited that you're here. I'm a little amped up. I'm not sure why that is. I had my coffee, but I lost my coffee. If you guys could find my coffee, that'd be great. I have a habit of just walking from place to place and setting my coffee down. And then I'm like, is that my coffee? I guess I'll just drink this one and then go find mine. I don't know. Anyway, all that to say, I haven't had my entire cup of coffee. And typically, coffee calms me down. And so I might be like that. So there you go. Buckle in. Buckle up. It's first time. Welcome. Glad you're here. I'm the pastor, and I like coffee. And I love Jesus as well. Is this it? Is this my guy? See, look at this. It is mine. Thank you. I'm not sure. See, I'm concerned. But I think that's the last place that I was at, right? I was back there fiddling around, messing with stuff. Okay, you guys ready? Okay, fantastic. Now, where was I? Oh, yeah, I'm going to preach to you today. Okay, so a couple of quick things before I get into the next part of our series, To Boldly Go. Last week, we kicked off our first week. That's not my coffee. I was just tasting it, and it's not good. Okay, it's not how I like it. Babe, help me focus. I don't know what's happening. Okay, last Sunday, what is it? Oh, well, if you want your coffee, come get your coffee, bro. I only had a little sip, and you enjoy whatever you're drinking in there. There we go. Okay, we got Robbie his coffee, and so that's important. First service is the place to be today. Okay, last Sunday night, we kicked off Bible study with Pastor Brent, and it was a phenomenal time. We had over 30 people here. For those that came, thank you for joining me. It was a wonderful time of discussion, and I'm excited to keep that going. Who's excited for the Super Bowl? Wonderful. That's what I was hoping for. Because I'm not a sports guy, a football guy. I don't even know who's playing. Maureen messaged me halfway through. She's like, I won't be there. She's like, I just wanted to remind you, Pastor. I know you're not into football, but it's the Super Bowl this Sunday. I'm like, cool. We're still meeting and getting together to talk about Jesus tonight. So come join me for Bible study with Pastor Brent. And bring your notes, bring a Bible. It's a lot of fun. Just wanted to throw that out there. I know Paul talked about it, but I want to encourage any of you who are new, any of you who are new to the faith, if you've recently given your life to Jesus, if you've recently gotten baptized, if you're looking to kind of get a solid foundation, we have our new disciples class that is starting. It's a 5-week class. It's a phenomenal class. Just will help answer any questions you have about this new life in Jesus. So I want to encourage you to sign up for that, to go through that if you haven't gone through that. Again, that's at 9 a.m. The second thing that I'm really excited about we've been adding crews to our crews webpage, and go and look. There's some new ones, and the one that I just recently added is a financial piece class led by Matt and Jessica McCard, and that is a wonderful class to go through if you're looking to, man, get a handle on your finances, get out of debt, all that stuff. I would encourage you to sign up for that as well. I wanted to give them a plug because I think it's so, so important. And then, of course, with all the other crews, I would encourage you, find one, go to one. It's going to be important for you to get plugged in that way. Okay, we spent too much time talking about coffee, and now we got to get into the word. So we have been in this series. I'll just do a quick recap. We launched into this series To Boldly Go because we have this. We've been given this burden. God has called us to look to the future, to step into what God is calling us to, and we believe that's to purchase a property and build a building. So we have this burden. I believe the bold request. I'm going to show you this commitment card. Amen. Yeah, he knows what I'm talking about. And so we're talking about on March 2nd, when all this will come to fruition, bringing 300,000 in one-time gifts and then making commitments of up to 700,000 over the next 3 years. And so we'll get those into your guys' hands. But this is what we're going after. We know we need money. You need the money to buy the property, and so we're working towards that now. And so if you haven't been here, that's what we've been talking about. I would encourage you to go back and listen to the first couple of weeks as I kind of unpack some of that. And then as we get closer to the second, we'll unpack it some more. But there's this bold request. burden. And it requires us to get up and go, to get uncomfortable, to be willing to sacrifice. And that's what we've seen as we've studied the story of Nehemiah. He had a burden. He made a request. He got up and went. He went and inspected all the things, got a bunch of information. He got a plan. And then last week, we talked about how they gathered together and they were next to one another and they began to build. Nehemiah 4:6, it says, "So we rebuilt the wall until the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had the will to keep working." So they built the wall, people had the will, they're moving forward with God's plan. And what happens next? What happens when we try something new? When we try to make a positive change? When we are making progress, working towards a goal, trying to save up, trying to stay sober, resisting temptation, addiction, trying to lose weight, paying off a debt, regaining broken trust. You want to know what happens? Attacks happen. There's hardship. There's struggle. There's turmoil. There's loss. There's suffering. Especially when the changes that we are making are for the glory of God. The enemy is going to come at us. And it's just going to feel like everything is crumbling around us as we are desiring to make progress. And this is what takes place in our story. So we're going to jump into in Nehemiah 4 today. And here's what it says in verse 7. "When Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs, the Ammonites, the Ashdodites heard that the repair to the walls of Jerusalem was progressing and that the gaps were being closed, they became furious. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and throw it into confusion. And so we prayed to our God and stationed a guard because of them day and night. And our enemy said, 'They won't know or see anything until we're among them and can kill them and stop the work.'" And this is it. The enemy wants to stop the work of God, the work of the church, the work of helping other people come to know Jesus and experience Jesus and embrace Jesus in their life. He wants to stop that from happening. As a church, he wants to do it. In your life, he wants to do that. That's what he is all about. And so the reality of it is this, is when we make that decision to boldly step out, the enemy will attempt to stop us. And he'll throw everything at us. He'll try everything to come at us and to stop us from moving forward. You know, we're talking about what's next for the future of Kairos, and I've shared some things about where we've been as a church. And I'm just thinking through this, like, as we boldly stepped out, all the different attacks that have came. And so in September of 2016, me and my family felt the call to move to Auburndale to start Kairos Church. And so we move our family out there and we're getting settled in, and then we begin our plan to start the church. And one of the big things as you're starting a church is, where are we going to meet? And we're, you know, super excited, and I'm reaching out to different places that I began to see in Auburndale, and I'm reaching out to schools and I'm reaching out to community centers, and I'm just, "Hey, would you guys be interested?" And it's like, "No, no, 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 no." And I'm like, "All right, well, guess it wasn't here." And so it's like that initial thing. And so there's no place to meet. And so in April 2017, we're still trying to figure this out, and we've got a few, and they're kind of not working, and I'm pushing for them, and we finally land on a place, and we're pushing towards a launch in September. And wouldn't you know it, on our launch day, a hurricane comes through. Many of you have heard that. And it's like, "Oh man, look at this. We've already experienced some trouble, and then this hurricane comes through, and then we're able to launch after that." But then in December, right before like our first ever Christmas service, my worship leader tells me that he's moving. Okay, so I gotta, in the midst of all the things and everything, I gotta find a new worship leader. And we get through that, and we have a great, Christmas service. And then in January, I find out from my sending organization that my funding's being cut, because we haven't hit the numbers that they had desired for us, and so they're cutting my funding. And I'm like, "Okay, well that's not good. Well, I guess I'm gonna have to go mow some lawns or something to get some money to pay staff, to pay for facilities, to pay for all that we do." And so there's an attack there, and so that takes place. And then in March, well before March, it's probably around February, we find out that we're not going to be able to meet in the location that we're going to meet at. And so now we have to change locations before our first Easter service, and we change locations. All right, let's go. And then we get to December again of 2018, and wouldn't you know it, the worship leader tells me he's leaving again. And I have like trauma. In December, when Christmas comes, my worship leaders are going to leave.
And so, you know, we lose another worship leader. And here's the other thing, what you need to understand is that as the worship leaders transitioned, there were people that came along with them. And so not only do we lose a worship leader and a family, we lost other families that came with them. And so we're just dealing with all this, dealing with all these attacks. And then we got another worship leader. And then in June of 2019, I knew about this one, but guess what happened? We got a different worship leader. So that's three worship leaders, less than 2 years. And I am so thankful that we have got Robbie and I threatened him. Yeah. Bro, almost 6 years this guy's been with us. Six Christmases. You know, it's like I threatened. I said, bro, you are allowed to leave whenever you want except Christmas time. What? I don't know if he did that or not. And so I'm so thankful for Robbie and his ministry and what he does each and every week. And so we get to 2019. We have this year of growth and momentum, and man, things are moving forward, and man, we're so excited about the life change that we're seeing and experiencing. And then we get to February of 2020, and the bottom falls out, because COVID hits, and we lose families, and we change locations, and we have to go online, and there's loss of giving. Through some of that, we lost some of our core families that moved out of here. One of them was our youth director, Zach Varney, and it was just attack after attack after attack after attack, and it was continual, and it never stopped, and it's kept going. And this is in Nehemiah 4:12. Here's what it says: everywhere you turn, they attack us. Everywhere we go, everywhere we look, they're coming at us. They're attacking us. And so here's what I want you to know: as you boldly step into the things that God is calling you to, there are two guarantees to boldly going. The first guarantee is death, destruction, hurt, suffering caused by sin. It's a guarantee. It's a part of our life. There's no getting around it. And as you step into the things of God to combat and come against sin and temptation, these things are going to feel like they're being ramped up. So you'll be attacked spiritually, emotionally, physically. Those things are guaranteed. But the second guarantee, you ready for this? Is grace, redemption, joy, and healing given by God. You see, because the work and the blessing of the Lord are guaranteed to happen. And I will say that the latter is a greater guarantee, and that's the one that we have to focus on. On the attacks, not what the enemy's throwing at us, but how God has shown up every step of the way. Here's what Romans 5:20 says. It says this, that where sin multiplied, grace multiplied even more. And this is such a powerful statement in our personal lives, And who God has called us to be. And sin wants to come in and say that you're defined by your sin. And God comes in and says, no, you're defined by my grace. The grace that I have for you. Verse 21, it goes on. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace will reign through righteousness, resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The attacks are going to happen. You know this. I know this. It's no surprise that we're going to be attacked. And what I'll say is when the attacks come, I think it's really easy to get caught up in focusing on why. Why is this happening? Why is this taking place? What did I do? What did someone else do? What did someone else say? Why me? Why me? Why me? Why are these? Instead of focusing on all of that, we got to focus on how will we respond when they come. You're focusing on the why leads to blaming, complaining, whining, cowering, and stopping. Just that's what it wants. It wants to halt the progress that you are making. But when we focus on responding, on how we respond, that leads to us praying, preparing, fighting, and continuing to go after the things that God has called us to. So how do you respond to attacks? Whether they're emotional, spiritual, physical, how do you respond? How do you react when the enemy attempts to stop the work that God has specifically called you to? I think we could, you know, go to the typical response, right? It's the fight, flight, or freeze. I'll rephrase it and say, will we respond with fear or with faith? Fear or faith? You know, there will always be a reason to fear, to worry, to doubt, to be anxious, a reason why we think we can't. But God is always the reason that we can. It's a faith in him. It's a belief in him. It's an understanding of who he is and how much he loves us. But the fears come. The worry comes. The anxiety comes. The doubts come. You know, I was thinking about this. I've had some hesitancy as we've entered into the series on multiple levels, you know, with asking for money and with stepping into a building campaign and launching out to, you know, all of those things. And so I'm just thinking about all these things, and I'm going, man, is this not a good time to ask for extra financial commitments? I know, man, many people are going through things, and I don't want to add stress. And then I go, well, maybe we should just wait. Let's wait until we feel more confident, more resourceful, more stable. And then I begin to question, is building what we want to do? Is this where we want to go? Do we want to spend this much time, this much of our resources in acquiring a property and building? Do I even have the capacity to focus on all the things that are related to entering into that while also continuing to teach and disciple and to help people embrace Jesus? Am I ready? Is my staff ready? Are our volunteers ready? I'll be honest with you. I've gone into multiple weekends with a strong desire to say to you guys, you know what? Never mind. Never mind. I honestly, like, this isn't the right move. This isn't the right time. We as a church just aren't in the right place. There are many variables, and I'm too overwhelmed. And that's happened just about every week. I've dealt with that. I've struggled with that. And here's the beauty of it. Every time, God, through his word, through his spirit, and I would even say more so through his people, has come along and encouraged me and affirmed the calling and solidified and revealed to me that we are, in fact, heading in the right direction at the right time and with the right people. And that's just coming from different levels of encouragement that people have shared with me. And honestly, as we've stepped into this, man, the things that have unfolded, that the things that have been revealed to me as we stepped out to boldly ask, how God has already been orchestrating things and continues to orchestrate things for his church to bring him glory, it has been amazing to watch and see. I'm just gathering and I'm watching and I'm amazed. I'm in awe of what God is doing. And so here's what I want to say. Church, as you pray, right, we have this bold request of you. And so as you pray about what God is calling you to boldly give, how you can boldly go, I would also ask you to pray for our staff, our leadership, to be discerning, to make the right decisions, to follow where God is leading. We do have a very good opportunity to purchase property that is part of an even greater story that God has already been working and weaving to impact this community in an amazing way. So pray that it comes to fruition, pray that it's the right price, pray that we can raise the money, and pray that we continue to faithfully pursue the burden that God has placed on our heart to build. We need to be a praying people. Where fear comes, where anxiety, doubt, all those things come. Listen, fear is a paralysis that is remedied with faith. It's going to come, but our faith in who God is and what he's called us to can overshadow that. And that's the reality. We don't overcome fear on our own. I can't overcome fear on my own. We overcome our fear by surrendering our fear to God. And when we do that, it then produces faith in God to continue to work and move in us despite the fears that we may have. Faith remedies fear. And then once we surrender that fear and we turn that fear into faith, that's when we're ready to press on and to keep fighting. So the sure way to combat fear when it shows up is faith in God, who is great and awe-inspiring. And that's what took place for the Israelites in Nehemiah. Nehemiah 4, verse 13. It says, so I stationed people behind the lowest sections of the wall at the vulnerable areas. I stationed them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I made an inspection, I stood up and I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the great and awe-inspiring Lord and fight. This is so powerful. He didn't back away. He went and put the right people in the right places. And then he encouraged everyone. He says, listen, God has called us here. And while we together are a great and unified, you know, country right now, the biggest thing is that God has our back. Remember how awe-inspiring and great that he is. See, the attacks may come, but the work still needs to be done. The sacrifices still need to be made. Much will be asked of us and required of us. We will experience fear, worry, doubts. They'll all arise, but we must continue to work and continue to fight. I'm calling it this bold resolve to work and fight. And this is one of the coolest parts about Nehemiah 4 is we see them begin to work and fight at the same time. Follow along with me, verse 15. It says, when our enemies heard that we knew their scheme and that God had frustrated it, every one of us returned to his own work on the wall. From that day on, half of my men did the work while the other half held spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers supported all the people of Judah who were rebuilding the wall. The laborers who carried the loads worked with one hand and held a weapon with the other. Each of the builders had his sword strapped around his waist while he was building, and the trumpeter was beside me. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, the work is enormous and spread out, and we are separated far from one another along the wall. Whenever you hear the trumpet sound, rally to us there, because our God will fight for us. And so we continued the work while half the men were holding spears from daybreak until the stars came out. That's just this powerful picture. Yeah, we're gonna be attacked. Yeah, we're going to experience trouble and turmoil and all those things. But we can't let up. We got to keep fighting for our relationships, for our family, for the people that we love, for the burden and the calling that God has placed on our life. We work and we fight. And so we've faced many attacks, battles, struggles, hardships in the last 5 years as a church. But we know the work that we're called to, it must continue. We got to continue to help people embrace Jesus, find hope and healing and grace and redemption in Jesus. And so we work and we fight and we remember we are never alone. We talked about this last week, right? We get people next to us and they're next to us, and we have people that are next to us and there are people that are next to them, and we are a unified front, and that's great. But the greatest reminder is that God fights for us. God is for us and working for us. And so we work, we fight. We realize that there are so many people that are going through things. We understand that the purpose of the church is to come alongside those who are hurting, who are experiencing loss and trouble and hardship and difficulties. And that's the reality. I mean, we share sometimes, but we don't share all the things. So many people are going through extremely difficult things right now. And as a church, we're able to come alongside them spiritually, emotionally, and also financially. And I'm so glad at some point in their life, they came to Kairos, they found Kairos, they trusted Kairos, and then they didn't have to go through what they were going through alone. Because we were here, we were working, we were fighting to come alongside them as they continued to press on in the things of God. And the reason this has happened is because for 7 years, many people have gathered next to one another, and they've built, and they've fought, and they've prayed, and they've served, and they've given, and they've encouraged, and they continue to do that. Despite the attacks, we've continued pressing on in the work of the local church. And so we got to continue to have this bold resolve to press on. I want to jump to the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 56 through 58. This has been a verse that has been with me for quite some time as I've been in ministry. I remember my pastor at my last church encouraging many volunteers as we were entering into just a season of growth to continue to be steadfast and immovable. And so I want to read this to you. And it says this: the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, with this in mind, right, we have victory in Christ. No matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening, we have victory in Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, be immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, always doing your best and doing more than is needed, being continually aware that your labor, even to the point of exhaustion in the Lord, is not futile or wasted and is never without purpose. The purpose of the local church is the greatest purpose, I believe, on this planet. It's what Jesus died for. It's what Jesus set up. It is the vessel in which the gospel of Jesus Christ moves out, and the hope and the message of Jesus Christ moves out. How we serve, how we give, how we sacrifice, it is never in vain, because we're doing the work for Jesus, and in him we have victory. You know, as we launch into this next season of church, guess what? We're going to continue to face hardship. There will be trouble. There will be setbacks. There will continue to be political division, political unrest. We will continue to experience and go through sickness, have financial struggles, increasing cost. There will come staff and personnel changes. There will be division and dissension taking place, some in secret, some out in the open. There will be law. All these things will come. And, you know, knowledge of these things, because it's what we've experienced and what we know other people experience, knowledge of these things happening in the near future or the distant future, it can paralyze us. It could give us a reason to pause, to stop, to step back, to play it safe. But man, I'll tell you what. When I read this, I don't see anything that says play it safe. Jesus didn't play it safe. The prophets of old didn't play it safe. Nehemiah didn't play it safe. There was work to be done, and that work must continue. Teaching the word must continue. Making disciples through our kids' ministry, through our youth ministry, through our now young adults ministry, through our brotherhood ministry, through our crews and our groups, it must continue. Helping people embrace Jesus must continue. Encouraging people to take next steps, going public in their faith through baptism must continue. Did you know this? Last week we baptized 8 people. 8 people were baptized. It was a beautiful, beautiful time. If you weren't here, man, just go back and watch it. We recorded it. 2 powerful moments. I mean, they were all powerful, but when I see a father and a son get baptized, man, it is so amazing to see that taking place. And that's the work that we're called to. So as the work continues, the church will grow. As the church grows, we must continue to fight to adequately meet the needs of everyone who comes to Kairos and begins to call it their church home and their church family. Church, would you stand with me? I want to pray with you. Just in this time, just bow your head, close your eyes. Before I pray, just some things to think about. Maybe you already have been, but just to kind of reiterate and see how the Spirit works and moves in your life. What work has God called you to for His church? How have you responded? What sacrifices, whether time or finances or comfort, is God asking you to make for His kingdom? What attacks do you need to begin to respond to with faith instead of fear? God, right now, I lift up our church family to you. God, I pray protection over each person here, over each family here, over each relationship here. God, I pray for healing. I pray against loneliness and isolation. I pray for it to be replaced with joy and hope. God, I pray over any loss that people are experiencing. God, I just lift them up to you. I know some of the struggles. I don't know all of them. And I know they're hard. And I know there's a burden. I know it's overwhelming. God, I pray that you would remind them today that they are not alone in what they're going through. Remind them today that you are fighting for them, that you are with them, and that you have sent them to be surrounded by people who are with them and for them as well. God, I pray in all of these things that we are encouraged, that we are comforted, and that we are given boldness and confidence to continue to press on, to be steadfast, to be immovable, knowing that we have victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God, we are praying for your church, your people, for the future that you have for us and the many people that are going to come to know your son Jesus because of our willingness to boldly go. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.